You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
12 cats live across the road. Our door's open. Screen's broke. We need to get a new screen door, but screen's broke. I turn and look, there's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, "What are you doing in here, little kitty cat?" The cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, "What's going on?" I said, "There's a cat in the house." "Cat in the house?" I said, "Yeah, there's a cat in the house." So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow. The cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, "You need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Meow," looking in the mirror. "Do I look good? Be a dog."
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Levity. Thanks. Worked. I feel so much better. Damn, right? So this meat raffle Saturday night, I won't talk about the meat raffle. I just want to tell you the scene. So you've got a crowded, happy place. Families, friends. Cincinnati wins. The place explodes. Right. Like, explodes.
Right.
And it was just a night of however much confidence you had in their chances yesterday, at least they had a decent chance. And they are going to play the AFC Championship game here next week. Like, it was just, wow, against the Bengals. No offense, but come on, it has connotations. So, so close.
Yeah, so close. And I don't know, like, I feel like I keep making this point. But it is weighing on me, like that the opportunity that just passed by, the performance from your quarterback that they got yesterday to get that touchdown with 13 seconds left, that drive on top of the previous drive. I mean, the fourth down runs and just all of it. It just was all set up, and you know, here we sit instead. another day at the Factory of Sadness.
Time to hear updates on the coaching changes that could happen to the staff. And today was also that list of players who were signed to futures contracts. The first day after the season, you get the list of players you never knew were on the team in the first place, usually signed to futures contracts. That welcome to the offseason. Oh,
yep.
These guys are so good. Do we want Kansas City to win now? Because then we can remain in our sort of righteous position, like the Bills were actually better or the best team. You know, they should have won it. Is that what we want?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not, I mean,
if they lost 40-3, that would be a little bit cool. Maybe.
I suppose. I don't know. I haven't really – I can't
– Not yet.
I can't climb past all the feels I'm feeling right now about the Bills and the way they lost to give you an answer that I'd want to put my name on about what I might be rooting for this weekend.
Fine. It can and should wait. It can and should wait. Don't worry about it. Here's Patrick on WGR. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. So it's been a hell of 24 hours, and – I wanted to call from, so I'm a mental health counselor out in Orchard Park, and I'm also a season ticket holder, which I suppose is, you know, kind of a paradox. But, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people today, and I'm really trying to process my own feelings. And, you know, from a mental health perspective, one thing that really doesn't work, whatever your sort of therapeutic approach is to, like, trivialize or sort of intellectualize somebody's grief, right? And so, you know, I've noticed myself when I'm talking to maybe some non-football fans or even some football fans, you know, starting caveating everything, right, with like, I know it's just football. I know, you know, I know there's so much to be grateful for, all this stuff. But the reality is that this was, you know, again, keeping some perspective, this was a tragic loss. This was a horrible, horrible loss. And, you know, you guys alluded to it a bit. You know, after they scored that touchdown with 13 seconds, you know, first it's like I'm trying not to cry in front of my friends, right? And then it's like, all right, am I going out on like Elmwood tonight? How much am I willing, you know, can I talk my wife into spending on these tickets? You know, who am I taking? What am I going to do for the tailgate?
Right.
You know, so it wasn't just the, it's like,
yep.
Somebody sort of likened it to the wide right, and it's sort of like, well, what if he made the field goal first, right? And then they made him re-kick, and it was wide right, right? So, and the one other thing I'll just say is that when you really try to think of, you know, there's not just the moment of the loss in the moment, but it's like, if you think about what the implications are, for many people in this area, I mean, look at it outside right now. It's dishwater gray. It's snowing. It's like, this hobby of being a Bills fan, when you talk about WGR and media and the games and talking to your friends and family, like, we got 15 more weeks of true sort of winter weather ahead of us, and this thing was taken away. And it's like, so I just wanted to, I don't know, I guess sort of give people permission to just be sad and maybe not have to feel ashamed of that because it's a sport, to just say, like, man, this was a blow. And I promise the last thing I'll hang up. For people in my specific age group, I would say people from 30 to 40 who didn't really get to enjoy the Super Bowl era, but really got to enjoy a almost two-decade-long drought, you know, from starting with a medium tragedy of the Texans' 16-point loss to just like a tough loss last year to the ups and downs of the season, it has been a tough, you know, I'll cheer the fact that we've got our franchise quarterback maybe in April at the draft or something. But for now, I just need to be sad for a while. So I'll hang up. I appreciate you giving me the time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I appreciate you saying all of that. I for myself, I know everybody's different. I really appreciate a lot of that sentiment about, like, you know, not that anybody out there really needs you or me or Mike to validate their being upset or sad. But for me in my life, whether it's about the Bills or anything else, the thing that trips me up constantly is feeling ridiculous for being upset about the thing I'm upset about. Yeah. And that makes me more upset.
Right.
So like I've learned over the years that this is behavior that I duplicate, and I try to avoid those situations, or at least be honest with myself. Just be like, just be sad, get it out, be mad, whatever you're going to do, and just get it out rather than keep it in because you feel silly for being upset about something that is, in the big scheme of things, not life and death. It can be tough. I think it's a skill to know how to handle that. So I appreciate your words.
I totally agree with that, and I am so badly qualified to handle that. Like if it's a skill, I have just never even gone to kindergarten yet as far as handling that. Because so many things in life make you feel bad about sort of the world or just anything like that, and your own problems can just seem so meaningless. But you still feel them. You still have them. Like, what do I do? So, yeah, the caller's right. I mean, the bills are important. It's okay. I agree. I would never shame anybody into caring about this, especially, you know, deeply. I mean, that's – thanks for calling, Patrick. Kevin is next. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, guys. I just want to say thanks for the peek behind the curtain with the meat stuff. That stuff's always enjoyable. I wanted to ask you guys, I know McDermott said last night, you know, decisions were made. He's not going to go into specifics, and I'm likely expecting more of that. I'm sure ownership's going to get that. But don't you think the fans are a bit as well? We're always complimented on what a smart fan base we are. This coaching staff for 2 years in a row has taken us to this game, and I think cost us with their conservativeness. They forgot who brought them to the dance last year and kicked on fourth down. And this year they're ultimately conservative play calling with 13 seconds left from the kick to the defense also cost them. I mean, what is there to think that the fans should have faith in this coaching staff, and even better yet, the players? I think we deserve answers on these decisions, why they did what they did.
Well, thank you. It's an interesting area. It certainly is for me. I mean, I scrutinize these press conferences. I mean, I said earlier, just to sum it up, I mean, I think McDermott sees calling out and any sort of reference to people other than himself making mistakes or any kind of blown coverage, any kind of responsibility that was missed, he doesn't do it. And it's part of why he is well respected, because he does not He never does it. When he does any, when he names any names, it's like interesting. So I think he sees that as disloyal. There's a balance, I suppose. Like he knows the answers. He knows what happened. Does he have to tell the fans? It'd be nice. I always want it. I always recommend, sort of wish for it. But I don't know. Let's say, for example, Levi Wallace is out of position on the Kelce play. He's not going to sit there and go, yeah, Levi Wallace should have been over here. I told him to be over here, but he went over there. I don't know why. You know, yeah. That is just totally not him, and it's not most coaches. And I think, you know, on balance, that's okay. That's
I think that's how it should be. It's frustrating, yeah. but it makes sense that it's that way. I mean, the kid is going to try to continue to have an NFL career here. He does not need – like, we've all decided anyway, right? So you know, McDermott throwing us a body, so to speak. Sorry, that's a sloppy way to put it. Just – you know, it's not going to serve. It's not going to serve much of a purpose. It's going to confirm what you already suspect, I suppose. Although, you know, you might like to know whether he was following instructions or not, because that's a bigger, you know, that's a bigger problem than a guy making a mistake.
Either way,
a player
though,
making a mistake.
See, I think McDermott might deserve the benefit of the doubt on this. He's probably done all the math. You know, I think we started. I talked to him. He sometimes sort of was like, "What's the point of doing these if you don't? If people are not going to." Sort of listen to my words or whatever, they're going to translate it anyway. You know, he sort of had a little bit of that in him, I think, in the beginning. I think he's done the math on it, and no matter what he says there to him, I think it's he that looks bad. He's either going to say, it's my fault, I put us in this coverage, I kicked it deep, all the things. He says, you can blame me, but it really doesn't carry much weight because he doesn't get specific. You know, it's just sort of like, okay. But if he does the other thing, he looks bad for doing it, you know, for blaming somebody. Well, you're the head coach, so maybe he feels like he can't win there. Why should the fans have faith? Look at their record.
Right. Look at their record is right. I mean, I'm not in the mood to hear it, so I don't want to say it. But I'm going to say it. There is a lot of good. I'll keep it short. There's a lot of good here. There is a lot of good, specifically the quarterback. I mean, is reasons 1 through 10 to be excited about the future. But I said there. I said it.
There's still a Mahomes. You know, Mahomes wins again.
Right.
And he's also very young.
And you had him yesterday. I mean, you had him.
And you could have picked him. No, sorry, that just slipped. I didn't mean to say that. Just sort of slipped out. The fact that there is that connection is just like, it's haunting, right? Like, we love our quarterback. He's great. But there is that connection, too. Just feels like, you know, well, whatever. It's just, that's how this all started, right? As we know. Here is Doug next. Hi, Doug.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I've tuned into you from Philly, from New York City, from D.C., love it. Love what you do. Thanks a lot. It's been a good couple of months. I know there was a lot of talk throughout the fall of, like, do you hate Kansas City? Is this a rivalry? How do you feel? And at the time, I think during the fall, I sort of felt like, all right, like, they're good, whatever, like, so are we, like, let's just have at it. And I feel like more and more watching the stuff last night, like, the tides are changing. Like, I'm really starting to feel like I hate Kansas City. Like, I can't do it anymore. I can't do this, like, they're good. Like, no. No, I want him out. I want him done.
Okay. The Bills do go there next year and the year after. If you want a home game against Kansas City, you have to wait at least 3 years or get them in the playoffs, which means what? Like, outplay them over the course of the season. You know, that's a big question.
Yep. Winning there is a good way to do that, and they did that this October and still couldn't get that done.
Right. Here is Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you guys doing? Just the ups and downs and the height of joy and darkness. I actually checked on my teenagers before trying to get to sleep last night. The way I'm rationalizing it, that was the Super Bowl for me. Those were the two best teams in the NFL. I have a question. Am I giving the defense a little too much slack in having had to chase Mahomes, who's running out of the pocket, having to stay on guys downfield all game? For not being able to cover late in the game, that was my question.
That's a fair question.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I think you're giving them too much slack. There's no question to me that they would have been fatigued, either defense. But what the Bills did on those two pass plays to me wasn't so much fatigue-related, unless Levi Wallace doesn't go to Travis Kelce because he's tired. I think their idea for coverage there, which they had multiple timeout opportunities to discuss and pour over what they wanted to do tactically there.
And rest.
Right. That's right. They just chose the wrong option. That's it. So, yes, fatigue. Yes, you're playing a great player in Mahomes and great players in Hill and Kelce, and you're on the road and there's all of that, but it's 13 seconds and they got to go 45 yards. Eh, whatever, 40 yards, really. I mean, they could have kicked a longer field goal than they ended up kicking. 48 was the kick, I think, right? But all the same, like, you just needed to disrupt Kelce. Oh, I'm, like, ignoring the Hill play because the Kelce play is the dagger. I mean, that's the one that gets them down to the 31-yard line. And, you know, I just don't understand what they were doing coverage-wise on that play.
Perhaps Wallace notwithstanding, but it does seem like a coaching blunder on both plays. Like, the Bills just played it safe. Conservative is right. A caller earlier, right? Mm-hmm. Not all conservative coaching decisions are offensive decisions or fourth down. They played it. Hill just ran through them for a touchdown, 5 minutes earlier in real time? Like, he just ran through a play that was not supposed to happen. Yeah. And how long was that pass? So they're playing against that. The field goal, that's what they're trying to avoid. It's not a touchdown as that starts. It's keep them out of field goal range in these two plays. So if we give you 20 yards, I don't know how specific the thoughts get. If we give you 20 yards, that means you're going to need 20 more. Maybe you take that deal. And then you're lining up on the next one to prevent a 20-yard pass. You do have timeouts before each one, which makes it worse. So could that have worked? Sure. Maybe your pass rush gets there. To me, that's a bad bet. Never gets there against Mahomes anyway. No matter how many guys you draft, that's forget it. And you're rushing four on the Kelce play. What do they think is going to happen? Hughes busts through anyway, but too late. Doesn't matter. Drop everybody back. This stuff all sounds easier the next day. The kickoff is getting scrutinized. I would have kicked it deep like they did. I've been convinced that there was a better idea. You need the kicker to execute it, which shouldn't be that hard. You know, you want him to put it in the field of play near the end zone, right? That's what you're going for.
Yeah, I don't want to try too hard. Like, I think I let off post-game yesterday talking about squib. And, you know, the ball can bounce. That you could be nervous about that going out of bounds without anybody touching it. And you definitely don't want – that's worst-case scenario on that kickoff. But a high kickoff anywhere inside the 10, I think is what I wrote at the website today, fine. I've got guys on this team specifically because they're good at making that play. So go kick it to their guy and let them run 4, 5, maybe more seconds off the clock without Patrick Mahomes having the ball in his hands. That should have been your goal on the kickoff, is get time moving while that dude can't hurt me. And he'll have less to work with by the time he gets out there, and that is a win for me on that kickoff. And instead, they let time stand still, and here comes Mahomes, and, you know, it's still a long shot that they're going to be able to pull it off, but they did. And you helped them.
And I think that's reasonable. It's, to me, like, just, I don't want to say like it's overplayed yet or anything like that. I respect it. I respect that take. Their chances of winning were not that much better once they snapped the first of those two pass plays. Like, they did. It's little things. It's all fair. I mean, I can't be giving them, not how they would put it, 20, 25-yard passes to their best guys. You know, just a different choice needed to be made there. And if they'd made it, there's a better chance that, like, they're just hosting the AFC Championship. I mean, one of those plays working out differently is the ball game, which is going to make this loss so impossibly hard to live with for those players, you know, for everybody involved in it.
I mean, you never even made him, Mahomes, try a dangerous throw there. I mean, there are only two of them, okay? But it's desperation. You need to get somewhere where your kicker has a somewhere within 60 yards of kicking that. You've got a lot of ground to cover, and there was no risk on the plays that they ran. They were basically unchallenged completions. At that point in the game, with the stakes as large as they are, I mean, that is preposterous.
803-0550 for your calls as we continue. The season ends. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, we'll get right back to your calls here. The aftermath today of that loss last night in Kansas City. It's just such a sudden, abrupt transition into the offseason. Like, you go from, especially in this particular game, with how it went, you go from dreaming about the next week and maybe the Super Bowl, no other quarterbacks still standing who've ever won one, and then to the reality here, which is, okay, well, I have yet to figure out how to beat them, apparently, in the playoffs, and I'm going to lose people, and I got to figure out put a new team on the field and then try again. Just what a crushing, it's what makes sports great, that it's so fast like that. And, you know, all the buildup to last night and then, you know, boom, especially with the Bills. You know, Kansas City loses the game, which they came so close to doing, then it's, you know, we can't win every year.
Right.
But here, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting, Bulldog, to listen to the offseason and feel out what do they want to do differently, personnel-wise, anything. I don't know. I don't know what it is they should want to do differently, really.
Right. Cover Hill and Kelsey would be a good idea.
I guess that's tough to do.
That is hard to do. Yeah. I mean, that is hard to do. But, you know, I did not like, there was somebody called us during the 4 o'clock hour, I think, said like, well, I want to take the 13 seconds out of it. They played the same game as they did last year. And, you know, it's Hill and Kelsey. And I objected to, like, you're leaving out Gabriel Davis's 201 yards and record-setting 4 touchdown catches. But within that, and I wish I'd said this to that guy then, but, you know, maybe he's listening. Or his friends are. The fact that Hill and Kelsey go off like that, and the Bills did have to resort to Gabriel Davis, and Gabriel Davis had a great game, and he's qualified. But it's not like the Chiefs can't get Hill and Kelsey off, so you got to look out for Pringle or Hardman. Like their money guys got the ball. They got open and they got the ball, and Stephon Diggs like did not exist in this game. And, you know, it's pretty far down my list of things that are frustrating about the game, again, because they scored 36 points and Gabriel Davis had a record-breaking game. And, you know, Allen looked great, so there was no – I wasn't wanting for, you know, much else from a raw production standpoint, but – they made Diggs disappear in a way that the number one defense in the league this year could not do with either Hill or Kelsey, and maybe that's the beauty of it, is that there's the two of them, and you just sort of take turns, and if the quarterback really knows what he's doing, he knows when to go to the one guy and not to go to the other. But they just erased the Bills' best guy, and the Chiefs' best guys danced on them.
That's right. That is what happened last year, too. Here is Dwayne with us. Hi, Dwayne.
How are you doing? Let me say something. Let me get this out. I think the way they rank these number one defenses, to me it's a joke, because let's just look at it like this. We played the Patriots, rookie quarterback, that's 2 games. The Jets, basically no quarterback, that's 4 games. Miami, He never shows up half the games. That's six games. Jacksonville, no quarterback there. Now you look at Pittsburgh. Ben usually scores points when the game's over. Pittsburgh don't score many points. Then you look at Atlanta, Carolina, Washington.
Houston.
No good offenses. Well, hang on.
Houston.
But now when we played the good teams, Tampa, Kansas City, the Colts, Tennessee, they racked up over 30-some points against us. But now here's my question. Next year we're playing Cincinnati, the Rams, the Packers, Tennessee, Kansas City. There's five points in Cincinnati.
Baltimore.
There's six teams that's capable of scoring 30 points a game. Josh Allen's going to have to play like he played these last two games, especially when we lose some of our coaches.
Yeah.
We don't even know how good this defense is or even if we're going to be a playoff team.
Well, of course you don't know that, but the odds would be good. Look, the stat you're arguing against, we know the schedule, by the way, Dwayne, thank you, but you didn't need to run down the whole thing. I'm trying to help you with Houston. Like, here, the number one ranking is in either points allowed or yards allowed, you see, either. That's not analytics, just in case you're wondering. Like, that's not a smarty stat. That is, you know, yards, fewest yards, boom, or fewest points, boom, that's it. You want to put more thought into it? I recommend that. That's absolutely what you want to do. And then you can go to DVOA or one of these better metrics, depending on what you're looking for. And still, the Bills measured up. Great. I said it all year. The thing they did against those teams wasn't beat them. It was crush them. So, I don't know. Is it a story that Patrick Mahomes had a markedly better day against the Bills than Zach Wilson? Yeah, it's going to be harder. Yeah, that's right. It's going to be harder. They've got this great safety tandem. I'm not disparaging in any way toward them what I'm about to say. I'm just pointing out. Poyer and Hyde, remarkably, amazingly, have been on the field for almost every play of these 5 years. Like, there's never been an injury. There's just never been a setback. These guys are excellent, and they have been on the field for the whole thing, and they're good. But one of the things the Bills are going to have to see through is age, right? Like, they're going to have, they have certain players on defense and, you know, offense too, I guess, who are going to get a year older, and then you've got that. So, of course, there are always new challenges for the GM and for the coach, and, you know, the schedule being different is, of course, always going to be one of them. Okay. Yeah, they did play some weaker teams. We know. Here is Travis. Hi, Travis.
Hey, what's up, guys? Tough day to wake up today. But I will say this, you know, I'm really sort of sick and tired of everybody saying, you know, Josh Allen, what's he going to do when Brian Daboll moves on? From what I've seen this year, there's been so many, and Brian Daboll's very good, there's been so many inconsistencies in his scheming and play calling that Josh Allen has bailed him out, including the complete fourth quarter last night. I'm not worried about, you know, what's going to happen to Josh Allen when Brian Daboll goes. I think they're going to be fine, whether it's Dorsey or someone else. Josh Allen is a top three quarterback in the national media. You know, I listen to Boston Sports Radio a lot because I'm in Massachusetts. Like, they're not giving this guy credit. He is the second coming of John Elway meets Brett Favre. He is a legitimate top three quarterback in the league.
Okay, well, you know, you've got some, your reality is a lot of people are questioning, like, Allen's future when Daboll leaves. I don't hear that at all. I think you can respect both of them. And it should be, I would consider it a setback when, if Daboll leaves the organization, just as I would have a year ago, and I think there's just mountains of evidence to support that. That's not the same thing as predicting that Allen will fail.
Right. Right. I think, you know, there's, you know, it's going to be a different guy if Daboll gets this job somewhere, New York, Giants, wherever. It's a different guy. It's a different relationship. There's a different dynamic. You just never know, right? But I think the Bills have got the hard part done, and that's they've got a guy who is a superstar playing quarterback, and he can overcome a lot. And he's not only proven here, I think, through this stretch run and these two playoff games, that he is up to this. He's under contract. Like, you're all set there. But a new guy putting the offense together it's a variable. Undeniably, it's a variable. It doesn't mean it has to be bad. And like I already said, I think you've got the hard part done. And the hard part is finding the guy that can play quarterback.
Thanks, Travis. Here is Mark next. Hi, Mark.
How you doing? Well, I agree with Bulldog 100%. The way the Bills handled those 13 seconds, they played so soft, like they curled up into a fetal position, and they offered no challenge. What I would have done, I would have put a head on a head, like Thurman Thomas says, and hit them guys at that line. And if you have to, you tackle the guy, so you get a penalty. Big deal. That would take enough time off where they would have never been able to kick their field goal. That's the way I look at it. And the way I'm going to handle this is really a bad thing what happened last night. I told my wife today I'm not watching any of the remaining games because you know why? The Bills should have been playing in those games. They're not going to be in there, and I'm not watching one of them, not even the Super Bowl. That's how I'm going to handle it. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome. Here is Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Okay, thanks, Mike.
I'll be honest with you. If Josh didn't get that last touchdown, I would have been hurt more on 4th-and-13 if he didn't get that touchdown than how it went down. I mean, just so you know, we can do it for future years.
Yeah, I like that point. Yeah, I mean, I think eventually I'll hopefully my appreciation for how he played will overwhelm the disappointment with the outcome. Because he really did. I think he proved a lot yesterday.
Just superb. Thank you, Mike. Here's Lou next. Hi, Lou.
Hi, thanks for having me on. Two quick points. Hopefully the lesser one earlier is, I've been listening on and off today, this is not a huge thing, but the Tariq Hill, the taunting on that touchdown, has that been talked through? Because I was shaking my head saying, in a game like this, you know, 15 yards is, you know, on that next kickoff is pretty significant. And I haven't heard anything on it. Maybe I'm wrong. But
no, you're right.
Are people talking about this?
You know, I don't know about the rest of the day, but you and Bulldog and I have not really, I don't think it's come up.
I think you might have alluded to it yesterday early in postgame, but we never got to it.
Yes. I said it was one of the three things that will coming up about this game, but it really hasn't sounded like that to me either, Lou. Look, it's first of all, if you want to call that penalty, it's on the play. It's not after. So the touchdown doesn't count. If you threw a flag on Tyreek Hill for taunting, the touchdown wouldn't count. You would, I don't know if it would be the line of scrimmage or if it would be the spot. I don't even know, but it was during the play. And here's why I'm not going to – I started to do this last night. I just stopped myself. It's ridiculous to me that it exists as a rule. Like, it's so subjective. And, I mean, this league goes to these lengths to try to rein in demonstrations, rein in players. Come on. What you really gonna make this a rule? And it's, of course, so inconsistently interpreted and seen that it should come as no surprise that, especially at the end of a playoff game, what would be kind of like the definition of taunting would go unflagged. Like, you know, we don't want pass interference in the end zone on a Hail Mary, and we don't want dumb penalties to be called at the end to decide games, right?
Washing out great plays, yeah.
Yeah, unless it's your team, then maybe we do, right? And so that looks like the definition of it. To me, when you're waving at the defense as you're running past them to the touchdown, tell me what taunting is. Like, that sounds like what the word means. So I don't know. I don't really want to go to bat for the rule. And just I that's why I don't care that much about it, because I think just watching sports, it'd be kind of ridiculous if you took down that touchdown because of that. But the rule does exist, and if you bother to put the rule in, it shouldn't just be for appearances. It should actually matter. But if you watch sports, you know how often it doesn't.
Yeah, it would have been the maybe worst version of that call all year long if it had been made.
But also deadly accurate.
Sure.
Like, of course it was taunting. Of course it was.
Right.
What's, right. What are we doing? What are we doing here?
I saw someone, people are saying, I saw on Twitter someone say, it was a peace sign. How is that taunting? I'm like, do you know what taunting is? I don't care.
Definition
what,
of
he,
it.
He needs to have the middle finger up for it to be taunting. He's peace out. He's taunting them. I'm scoring on you. Peace. Like, that's a taunt. Whatever. I don't want to sound like I'm real upset about it either.
Same.
I'm glad it wasn't called.
Don't make it a rule. Think it through. We said the same thing about pass interference instant replay. You want to see how stupid this is going to get? Then they had, you know, lowering the helmet for contact. And we saw, oh, quarterbacks are even doing it. We're not going to call that. It's almost like it's an annual thing. The league will put a rule in and then eventually ignore it. Just don't put it in. You'll be all right. You're the NFL. You'll be all right. It's tricky. Like, if you're gonna have it, but so yeah. Anyway, what I'm saying is, if you want to know why you haven't heard it discussed on this show from my seat, that's why. Thanks, Lou. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, welcome back to your calls again in just a moment. My friend DJ corrected me on my analysis of the Tyreek Hill touchdown. So if they had called him for taunting there, that penalty, we think now, would have been enforced either on the extra point or the kickoff. Maybe the Bills' choice.
I think that's how that works, yeah.
Yeah. The play I remembered, and maybe you guys will too, was Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushing for a touchdown, maybe a one-yard touchdown against Dallas this year. I assume taunting is not limited to the Chiefs, but Edwards-Helaire ran one in and was like, he waved just the same. And I remember watching that thinking they're going to call him for taunting on this one-yard touchdown. And they did. But I just looked up the box score and they pushed the extra point back. I think that's what they did there. So okay. That's apparently that rule.
Good. Glad we got that correct.
Here's Devin next. Hi, Devin.
Hey, guys. I am a longtime listener. I'm actually a huge Dolphins fan. We've been stuck at the bottom of the basement for the last 30 years. And after watching your game against KC, we are jealous. You have a top three quarterback on your team. And if he stays healthy and you're able to sign him to a long-term contract, you're probably going to be division champs for the next 10, 12 years. Your team played well, and if you were to say to me, Devin, would you take our season and still lose that game with 13 seconds to go, I would say I would have traded my whole team for just that one opportunity. So I think the Bills fans and your team, I think you have a lot to look forward to.
Anyway. Okay, thanks. It sounds like a bad trade, but Allen is signed long-term, by the way. That's already happened. Here is CJ next. Hi, CJ.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, CJ.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air, bud. Go ahead.
Okay. I've been watching the Bills game for 39 years, and I can't believe that they would not put McKenzie on Terry Hill. McKenzie is the fastest guy in the Bills. That's point one. Point two, I can't believe they didn't congregate between the coach and the sideline. What are they going to do in the last 13 minutes? Well, everybody's on their own.
13 seconds.
I can't
believe
it either. If they kick the ball into the field without out of bounds, they have a big chance by beefing up their defense. They have the best defense in the league. How can they do that? How they lose this game is only God, you know, 13 seconds. I never slept last night. Me and all power guys from Toronto, we are in dismay. How can a coach do that? You know there's no tomorrow. You're done for the year, for the season. Pull all the cards you got, man. Pull all the cards you got. You need a defensive coach. You need a head coach and you need an offensive coach to congregate quickly on the sideline and come up with some kind of play that would work. My God, man. How many years are you going to wait? Next year. I'll be dead and gone long time, man. Shame on the coaching staff. Bye.
You know, you did a great job for being up all night.
Yeah.
They blew it. I got a text from a producer in Kansas City, probably meant for Joe, earlier today that said, can you send me some callers so that we can listen to Buffalo fans react to the game? I hope they stuck around for you, yeah. CJ. Although, if you've been watching football for 30 years, you should not be blown away that a team did not put a wide receiver into the secondary late in a close playoff game. You shouldn't be blown away by that, but, you know, yeah. I like the rest of it.
Good catch. Thank you for going.
I couldn't believe they didn't put McKenzie on defense. Really? You couldn't believe that? I mean, I guess it's probably happened, but
he played corner last year in the Miami game in the finale because they didn't have any other people dressed. He played a little corner late in that game.
Well, they won by 30, so they should have done that. Yep. Time for the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with you to 7 o'clock here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.